Please turn with me then in your Bibles to our text this evening. It comes from the book of Ecclesiastes. We'll be looking at chapter 11 and verses 1 to 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verses 1 to 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. Please then hear with me the reading of God's Word. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the way, the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know how the work of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and at evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Thus far is a reading of God's Word. Well, the desired effect that these six verses are intended to have, as Solomon the preacher pens them, is to draw out from the believer an enlarged heart towards giving. Now, I know sometimes due to false teachers who peddle the Word of God that when you hear talk about giving, it can be off-putting to some people, but it shouldn't be. Scripture in many places speaks about giving, but not just giving financially, right? But giving in a whole host of ways, giving of our time, giving of our resources, of our goods, giving of God's Word, giving up of ourselves for others. Now, I think one thing, though, that tends to happen as we contemplate giving, if we consider, should I give or should I not? I think one of the things we tend to think about is kind of what impact will this have? Because we want our giving to feel worthwhile. And a lot of times, if we're not able to kind of gauge what impact that giving will have, we won't give. Or perhaps if you do give and you don't really see any fruit coming from it, maybe you thought it was just a waste of time. The next time that an opportunity to give arises, and the situation is somewhat similar, you might say, I'm not going to give. Right? It might sour you to doing it again. Right? That's just the reality, though, of fallen humanity. But as believers, our minds towards giving need to not be governed by the world, but rather they need to be wholly given up to and transformed by the wisdom of God. And here it's that wisdom that Solomon applies to our giving and how we are to think about it. Right, beginning in verse 1, he says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Now, how does Jesus teach us to pray? Right? Give us our daily bread. What is that daily bread we're asking for? It's all things temporary and spiritual that we need from God. And now Solomon is telling us to cast that bread upon the waters. Right? Let it kind of flow out, be carried away into the sea, which is to say, freely give to those in need. Right? To be charitable, but also to know that when we show charity, it's not always going to be evident the fruit of that. Right? You might not see the impact that charity will have for months, years, maybe. Just as there are as many days between the planting of the seed and the harvesting, so it is with giving. But it's never a reason to refuse to give, because what we must do as believers is obey the command of God, which is to be charitable with others, but then trust that God will do the rest, right? That He will make work and happen whatever He has ordained to be. I once remember hearing John MacArthur, I can't remember if it was a sermon or at a conference that he was speaking at, it had to do with, you know, preaching the Word of God. And he says, well, when I preach the Word of God, And I do so just preaching the gospel. I'm able to sleep well at night because I recognize that that's all I can do, right? I can only obey God. I can only preach the word. And then I put my head down. I'm able to sleep because I know that God will do the rest, right? God will do the saving with the word, right? God will do the blessing with the word. And I think that that's kind of the way that we ought to be thinking with our charity as well, is that all we can do is obey God. Right, be charitable in the ways that He tells us to be charitable, and then just trust that God will take care of it, that God will do His work. Right, and so whatever that is, whether you sow, if it's money, if it's your time, if it's your goods, whatever it is, we are to give, but also to give not expecting anything in return. Now often when you do give, right, a lot of times that generosity comes back to you, doesn't it? I think that's what Solomon says, and cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days, right? Many times, right? It comes back to you in many ways. But we don't do something with the expectation of it coming back to us, right? But rather we do it being content, knowing that even if man disregards what it is that we give, that God does not, right? That God sees everything, that what we give and our charity is not lost on Him, even though it might be lost on man. But that He delights in a cheerful giver. And that should be enough for you and I. Right, what does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 to 46? Right, this is something that we ought to keep in the back of our mind as we excuse ourselves from being charitable oftentimes. Jesus says, then He will say, depart to those on His left. Depart from Me, you cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For what? I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then He will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Right? So we need to consider that when those opportunities of charity arise. That God didn't give us what we have so that we would hoard it to ourselves. Right? But He blessed us with much so that we might then be a blessing to others. Right after in verse 2, what does Solomon say? He commands, give a portion to 7 or even 8, for you do not know what disaster may happen upon the earth. It's sad how easy we can excuse our lack of charity, isn't it? And often, what do we do it under the guise of? Wanting to be responsible, maybe, with the things that God has given us. I want to be responsible with my money, responsible with my time, when the truth of the matter is, the reason that we excuse ourselves from being charitable oftentimes is because we lack belief and trust and faith in God. Right? That's oftentimes the reason that we don't. We say to ourselves, I see this person in need. Maybe it's 20 bucks they need and you have it in your pocket. But you say, I don't know if a week or two from now I'm going to need that 20 bucks. And so even though this person is in need, I have what they need and I could supply it to them easily, I'm not going to because I might need it for myself. You know what that says? That says to God, I don't trust and believe that when I obey You, that when I am in need, that You will supply for me. Right? But we need to remember what the promises of God are. Right? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? O you of little faith. There are so many objections that our selfish hearts can come up with for not giving. Maybe we say, well, I already gave to one person. Let these others over here give to that one. But what does Solomon say? He says our giving is to be spread out. He says, not just to one, but 7 or 8. What is He talking about? Giving to many. As often as you are able, as often as the opportunity arises, we are to give. Now, He's not talking about unwise giving. He's not talking about emptying your bank account or not paying your mortgage or not feeding your children. But he's talking about when you're in the position to do so and there's someone in need, not withholding that from them. But it also doesn't mean that this is only for some people. I think sometimes that's how we think. They don't have children, we do, so they can give of their time. Or they have more money than me, they can give of their money. No, all people, in proportion to what you have and in your ability, are to give. Right? That is the large-heartedness of the Christian that Solomon is trying to cultivate in every single one of us. I think oftentimes if we peeled back the layers of our heart, if we looked at the chambers in the soul, we'd see many times the reason we don't give is because we are so attached to the world and the things of the world. Right? But the Christian is to have not a selfish spirit, right? But an unselfish spirit. One that's ready and quickly is willing to depart with the things of this world. To depart even with earthly comforts and cares because we agree with what Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. That it's more blessed to give than to receive. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, Solomon says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." God gives liberally to His people, doesn't He? So why are His people so unmerciful in giving to others in need? Oftentimes perhaps thinking that they're unworthy of what it is that they want and what I have to offer them. And yet, which of us sitting here today, myself included, are worthy of anything that God has given to you and I? And yet He gives liberally to His people. And so we ought to give while we have the time. Because you might fall on hard times and then you won't have those things to be able to give to others. This is what Solomon says there. Give a portion to seven or to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen upon the earth. Right? He's saying, give while you have the time. Right? Give while God has provided for you. Right? Don't waste any time. Do it while the day is at hand. I mean, do the clouds say that to us? I mean, we wouldn't like that, would we, if the clouds said, we're full with rain, you guys are really dry there on the earth, but we're not going to give it up. Right? We would hate that, right? We want our fields to be replenished with water. And so just as Solomon says in verse 3, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth, so should we. Right? The rain blesses the earth. And that's what we are to do as well, bless the earth. And we are to do so wherever God puts us. Which is why Solomon continues in verse 3 saying, and if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Right? So in your family, in your neighborhood, in your job, in your church, labor to be a blessing to the people that God has put around you. Right? A tree bears much fruit wherever it is. Right? We too must labor to be fruitful to those around us wherever we are as well. In whatever capacity that we can be in. Don't say I'm waiting for the perfect opportunity to do it. That's just another excuse to delay charity. Right? There's always an opportunity so long as we open our eyes to it and stop closing them to the opportunities. Right? Too many in this world who claim to be Christian live their lives doing nothing. Right? They say, I'm going to wait on God to tell me what to do before I act or move. But what does Solomon say in verse 4? He who observes the wind will not sow. And he who regards the clouds will not reap. Right? The farmer who reaps the harvest is the farmer who goes out and does. He doesn't let the wind and the clouds distract him from doing what he has been called to do. That's his vocation. That's his labor. He doesn't allow those things to distract him. He doesn't say, I'm just going to sit here and wait for the perfect day to go do it. No, he goes out and does. And just like you and I, we must not let winds and clouds distract us from doing the duty that God commands of us all. I think oftentimes, sometimes we're not charitable because maybe we feel embarrassed that what we're giving isn't enough, or won't be received, or people won't like it, or whatever the case may be. But those are all trials to test your faith. Right? That's what that is. So be not to allow those winds and those clouds to keep you from your duty. Right? God called you to do it, and we are to be guided by a living faith in Him. So don't say, I'm going to wait for tomorrow or the next day. If grace moves you and the heart feels, don't quench it. Right? Obey God. Now Solomon says in verse 5, as you do not know the way the Spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. Right? There is much work in this world of God that we cannot know, we do not see. But that should not hinder our faith working through love. Right? Ignorance of God's working behind the scenes and in things that we can't see should not be a hindrance to faith working through love. Right? We don't doubt that a person's body and soul, even though we don't know how it all happens, right? Because you can't see the soul of a person. You don't know maybe how God is able to unite them to make one person, yet we still believe that it's the case, right? That we are body and soul, even though we can't see God's work in it. You can't perceive someone's soul. And so we need to stop trying to decipher God's ways. We need to stop saying to God, unless I see it, I'll do it. Right? But rather we have to trust that we do what God says, and that behind the scenes, the things that we cannot see or we cannot perceive, that He is working things out. And ignorance of that should not hinder us from being charitable to others. Saying, God, I want to see where my charity is going to first. I want to know Your plan for it. What will result in it before I do it? Here then again is another command in verse 6 to give in light of this reality that we must be trusting in God. In verse 6 He says, in the morning sow your seed, and at evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Right? He says, get up. He says, go, do. Even if you don't know how it's going to turn out, even if you don't know what impact it will have, even if you don't know how useful it will be, how it will be received, whether or not your charity towards others will be appreciated, do it anyways. Right? Wisdom pushes us off the bed. Right? Wisdom pulls us up off the couch. And it says, do the Lord's work day and night. Right? That's what wisdom says. Solomon then teaches us that charity in a charitable heart is not something that's demonstrated or to be demonstrated on a rare occasion. But rather, charity is something that is to be the daily habit of the Christian's life. Okay? That's why he says, in the morning sow your seed, at evening do not withhold your hand. Right? Charity is to be the habit of the Christian's life. Is it the habit in your life? When you wake up in the morning and perhaps you see your wife or your child troubled by something, and you have the opportunity to comfort them with God's Word or encourage them with the promises of God, do you say to yourself, well, I just got up, I'm tired, I don't feel like doing it right now. And you let them continue to be burdened by their troubles because you're more concerned with your own condition and mindset than theirs. At church, do you come with a heart set on being charitable to one another? Because you long to see good done to the souls of your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Right? When you come to church, do you come desiring to be charitable in the offering? Right? Seeing that you want the work of the gospel to be going forth. You want the kingdom of God to be extending and advancing in a variety of ways. And what do you have that you have not received from God? Nothing. And so we are to be good stewards with everything that God's given us. Right? That's money. Again, that's time. That's our work. That's our minds, what we say, what we do. All things we are to be good stewards with. Right? The wise person is the one who knows that God has called us to manifest wisdom in every area of life, and we desire to be a faithful servant to the Lord and do just that. And so I hope that all of our hearts, right, will be enlarged and continue to be enlarged as we read and as we consider God's Word. Right? That He would make every single one of us more and more, that we would recognize more and more all of those opportunities to be charitable, and that we would not be people who would pass them up. And what God commands of Himself, doesn't He Himself know best? Which also ought to be a great motivating factor for being charitable to others, because what God gave to man is infinitely greater than anything that we can give to anyone else. Right? What does Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9? He reminds us that our Lord Jesus, although was rich, for our sake became poor, so that we, by His poverty, might become rich. There is no greater example of large-heartedness than that. And so if Christ is willing to give up His life, and that is the most precious thing to you in the world, what is there in your life that you are still holding on to that you are unwilling to part with for the good of another? When Christ parted with His life for your good. John says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, "By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." Right? Now, we can never lay down our life in the way that Jesus laid down His, but what are you willing to do for the saints to show them that you love them? Right? We have so many opportunities to show forth the love of Christ to others. Right? We're glad and eternally grateful that Jesus showed it to us. May we never let an opportunity pass where we don't show that also to others. Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, Your ways are not our ways. And Your wisdom is unlike the wisdom of the world. And we thank You, Lord, that You have allowed us to understand something of the mind of God as You have revealed it to us in the Word, and You have given us spiritual eyes and spiritual minds and spiritual hearts and a spiritual nature. Lord, we pray that You would work these words into our hearts this week, that You would cause us to see perhaps the areas of our own lives in which we've been uncharitable, perhaps being selfish with our time, being selfish with our goods or with our finances. Lord, we pray that You would help us to detach ourselves from the love of this world and the things of the world, and that we would desire more to show forth the love of Christ. And if that means parting with things that are comforts to us for the good of others, that we would do so, always remembering what You have done for us in Christ. And so, Lord, we come before You this evening. We ask all these things. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen.